Check your pockets. Look inside the couch cushions and underneath the seats of your car. Welcome to Front Range Spare Change. Here's Dustin and Clayton.
Clayton, another week in history. Another to look forward to. Last week, not too bad. 4-3, a little bit of a rebound. Just one game was real bad on our side there.
You would not be talking about the CU Buffaloes, would you?
I don't know who played worse, us picking them or them literally on the field.
Wow. That's a tie. I hadn't thought about that, but holy smokes, dude. It seems like they forgot to take half the team over there or something. Wow.
Actually felt pretty good about it, too. You know, leading up to it, all the damn peer reports were – he's trending down, true game time decision, trending down. Then like 2 minutes before they announce he's out, and I'm like, oh man, I really like where we are here.
Love it. You love it. And then they have Newt Rockne on the sideline, and Tom Brady steps in as quarterback, and holy cow, we just get smoked.
Yeah, and say about five plays later, we were cooked bad.
Mm.
But, you know, that happens. Life goes on. That's why, we preach what we preach on some of the bankroll management things, because you are going to be wrong out there. Typically, we try not to be that wrong, but it does happen. So, we both really like the slate coming up here. I think a lot of good matchups and, a lot of good football games. The first one here, I really enjoy. Where do we want to begin with that one?
Yeah, you know, anything can happen, but we're looking at Saturday, 10 o'clock. This is down in Colorado Springs. We got Army visiting Air Force, couple of academy squads duking it out. And this one's moved a bit. Army, when I first looked at it, and this I believe was Sunday, was a favorite. And now Air Force is favored by 1.5. Total here is 48.5. Let's listen to the Air Force flight plan.
They still fly.
Yeah, they do. All right. Army 3-4, visiting Air Force 2-5. Troy Calhoun's squad seems to be scoring points left and right, but defensively they've struggled.
Yeah, this is historically probably one of the worst defenses to do it. They're practically dead last in everything, which is, I guess it's maybe the freshman issue. Cause I mean, they start, I think like six freshmen, three of them in the secondary. So typically the way that they just get crushed is through the air and big explosive plays. This is going to be eerily similar, I think, to the Navy game earlier in the year. Two teams that get it. Two teams playing for pure pride, and it's going to be probably the game that I have the most eyes on, I think. I enjoy this. I've been over this for a while. I just enjoy the academy games and what they all stand for, and it's just kind of a little rallying point. It's a breath of fresh air, and sometimes in the world we live in. I like this Air Force team. They're just fun to watch to me when there's no wind.
Yeah. You know, when you get to these academy teams together, you see a brand of football that you just don't have the opportunity to anywhere else in the season. So you've got completely polarizing, you know, styles of play. I think people either love it or hate it. And in this case, you've got both sides playing this way. This is going to be interesting. Army comes in, top five rushing offense. So does Air Force. Naturally, that's exactly what you would expect. Army has a little better rushing defense, giving up about 140 yards per game is going to land them, you know, in the top third nationally. Passing defense, Army's defense is a little bit worse. They're probably middle of the pack-ish. However, the difference in this one, I think, is going to be Air Force's defense. They are in the bottom five. They're giving up about 300 yards per game through the air. Granted, that's not a huge portion of Army's offense, but I think if you're game planning, if you are, you know, Jeff Monken looking at this game, I think you are going to try to you know, expose the secondary of the Air Force squad to put some yards on them.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think this is going to have a few more points than what people expect. One with the defenses and two, just the contrasting styles. I just think that, points will be had. I don't think it's going to be a grinded out traditional game, just like what we saw with that Navy game. There was a lot of points in that. There's one that is an intriguing plus money bet here. I like Army over 3.5 touchdowns scored. I think that's
a good
value bet. It's a nice way to get a little bit different than a team total or, on the spread side of things. And that's a nice portion. So I'm going to start there. Then I also like the over 48.5, and we'll finish it up with, this is going to be one of our featured games. I think 48.5 is too low. And then Clayton, you got one more special for us.
Yeah. I think in a game like this, both teams are going to show up to play. They're both going to score. And I like both teams over 20 points. And that's plus 100 right now. I think that's just a smart play. Looking back at the Navy game, I think you could see a path for both teams to get there easily. You know, that game was 31-34. And Army, Navy, Air Force all play relatively consistent and similar styles. So in this game, I love that play, both of them scoring 20 points. And at plus money, that's only a positive.
That's probably going to be my favorite bet out of the entire show right there. I absolutely love that play. I don't see a reason that doesn't get there. Let's do one disclaimer too. Always check the weather this time of the year. I don't care pretty much where you are anymore. Even in Hawaii, you'd have some problems, you know,
it gets windy there for
sure. The south, you have problems. So, you know, before you really click or, you know, as we do, we click all the buttons right now. And then, you know, come Saturday, you know, something drastically changes and you're like, it's going to be 50 mile an hour winds or whatever.
Maybe Devin Dampier doesn't play.
Yeah, right. find a way to hedge your play earlier in the week. Just, you know, it's another responsible part. If you don't like the bet anymore, get yourself out of it. Like there's just no reason to just lose money to lose money. If you're not comfortable with the play anymore, then don't play it.
Yeah. Right now, you know, it's a green light on all of these. Their weather looks good in Colorado Springs, so I'm all on board. Army over 3.5 touchdowns, plus 130. Both teams to score 20, plus 100. And naturally, you would arrive at a pretty high-scoring game there, so over 48.5, sold.
Yep, love them all. Like I said, that's going to be one of our featured games here. And truly looking forward to that game. Just a lot of cool moments in there. So if you're bored at 10 a.m., I highly suggest you take a peek at that one.
That's must watch. It's a friendly rivalry game, yeah. I guess might be a good way to put it. They're, you know, at 100% on the field, but after the game, it's handshakes all around and true sportsmanship. And I love to see that.
Yeah. When they do the fight songs at the end is probably one of my favorite moments. It's just one thing I stick around to. I don't watch too many post game things because usually I'm on to the next bet, the next game that's on or whatever, but I do stick around and watch that because it is very, very cool.
That doesn't get any better. Speaking of not getting any better, wow, we've got a 5 o'clock game, so we go from 10 to 5 afternoon. Take a look at the board yourself, but, we have Arizona visiting CU, and the Buffs are getting 4.5 points at home. Total is 53.5, and they gotta let Ralphie run. They gotta do something different. I don't know because the Stampede is just not there. Wow.
I think Ralphie ran over them pregame.
Just an absolute swing and a miss. That did not go extra innings. I can guarantee you that.
I'll tell you what, though, before we get right into this, that backup quarterback for Utah was very good. You don't see that a whole lot in the college game where they just kind of pick up on the same game plan that the number one does. But that That kid was, he was spectacular with the legs to start with, and he actually made some pretty good plays with the arm too.
He really did. You know, CU's defense is just not a pushover. I've got to believe that, and I'm gonna hang my hat on that again this week.
Yep.
But that kid, he's going places. And in, with the transfer portal, I would imagine he is actually going places. And
yeah.
That's the nature of the game anymore. And if I'm Kyle Whittingham, I do whatever I can to keep that kid around. But let's take a look at this week. Arizona rolls into town, 4-3 record. CU 3-5. And, just a terrible loss for CU last week. And Arizona coming into town also after a pair of losses, one to BYU on October 4th, and then on the 18th, they had a 28-31 loss to Houston. So they have a bye week coming into this, so we'll see what happens. Arizona scoring 32 points a game, giving up about 20 points a game. CU, I don't even know. I couldn't tell you.
I don't either.
It's an absolute crapshoot for me.
I think we actually pegged them right going for about four straight weeks. And then you throw the wrinkle in there, of just getting absolutely destroyed.
I understand losing 28-17. I understand that. But to let, a Utah team put up 50 points on you, holy cow.
Yeah, hanging a 50 burger, is different. I know that they've struggled against the run. And before that, Iowa State is a pretty good rushing team. And I guess maybe it's the styles of the run. Cause
make it make sense to me, Irby. I was angry. I don't get angry, but I got angry watching that one. Holy cow.
That was actually one of my more pleasant losses. We might have been on the different side of that because that thing was so over. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go wager on Utah's team total right now. I don't even care what it is. And I'm going to turn the TV off. but the only thing that what I saw out of that, basically the first half, because I'd be perfectly honest, I didn't watch a snap in the second half. Is the style that they ran was like a lot of the read options, and it was like the speed plays that got them. So I think that CU actually does okay stopping the run if it's a traditional type, single back, I form, those kind of things. But you get them in space, and then they have a problem. You don't want to know what the thing that Arizona doesn't do?
Well, I know their quarterback doesn't run it.
But yeah, Noah Fifita is special with the arm. And that is what CU defends the best, is the pass. So this is going to be a completely different style of game. So I'm going to try to, Men in Black myself when they hit the little button and you just kind of destroyed all the memories of previous of that CU game. And, I just think this is going to be a whole different team. I still think this team has pride. I still think they're an average football team. I don't think they're bad. They're just bad on a night. And I just feel like that defense is going to be better. I think they'll be prepared. And Arizona doesn't really deal with the things that, CU just got killed on. So we like one play, and it's going to be a little bit, I think, on the contrarian side because I think a lot of people are going to back the other side of this. I'm just thinking, well, if Team A in Utah just did this, well, why can't Team B that actually typically puts up points do this? And I think it's completely different. And the number's right. Arizona's team total is 28.5, and I think that goes under that. I just think that they come with a little better effort here and a little better game plan.
We talked before the show. There's an element of pride for sure that the CU defense, and I'll tell you what, I would not want to be a CU defensive player this week because practices are not going to be pleasant. I will guarantee you that. But the Utah game, that game was predicated on quarterback running all over him. Noah Fifita has something like 55 yards for the entire year of running. He is not a dual threat guy. He is pro style guy. He's going to sit in the pocket. He's going to throw the ball down the field. That's where CU wins this game. If they can play decent in the secondary, I don't think that the Arizona running game is going to be what beats them.
Yeah, I totally agree. I just don't see a world where the same thing happens. And I'll be clear, Noah Fifita is special. He is probably going to be probably third round or better draft pick.
You think he goes that deep?
I think so.
I think he's a second rounder.
Yeah, I think it's a third round or better, I guess, is what I was trying to say. That wasn't very clear there. He's very good. He had a special talent last year with Tet McMillan, and you see what he's doing in Carolina. The kid can play. This is just one of those points where I just don't – it's just a weird feeling. If they come out there and just light the world on fire again, then I'm going to have a different opinion on the CU team. But I think it's going to be competitive. I'm going to hold on to that. But when you are watching Arizona out there, I mean, I do believe that there is going to be points in this game. We're just hoping that it's not five touchdowns. It's only four touchdowns.
I can get on board with that. And to be honest, this game, it probably gave me the most trouble. Well, there's another one on our slate that I had a real difficulty with, but Arizona under 28.5. That's the play on this game. I'm sticking with it. Well, and heading up the road, down the road, going to the West Coast. Next up to bat, we've got Wyoming visiting San Diego State. San Diego State University is a 10.5-point favorite. I might be surprised if either team scores 10.5 points in this game. And total is 42.5. It's 5 o'clock game also. Wyoming, big win last week. I mean, shut out the CSU Rams in the border war. They've got to feel good about that. They're 4-4. And they're taking on a San Diego State team that's 6-1. And this game is not going to be a game where we see fireworks. That much I can tell you.
Yeah, these are two good defensive teams and two very bad offensive teams. And I am going to trust the defense here more than I'm going to trust the offense. Wyoming was impressive for a half. I was very I guess I wasn't surprised, but they're better in space than I thought that they were. And they've actually turned out a lot in the rankings here. When we first started doing this, they were, you know, like 80th, 90th in the country on defense. I have them all the way up to 37th now. And their metrics across the board are good. We're still talking Mountain West here, but When you creep above 40th in the nation and in almost all the categories here, you really have something. So kudos to them on the defensive side of things. Very, very good.
Yeah, they are very good. And equally, well, even better on the other side is the San Diego State defense. And they are impressive. I got their pass defense is about the 16th ranked in the nation, only giving up 170 yards a game. Their rushing defense, even better, about 100 yards per game allowed. And they have not played a super difficult schedule, but they have played some teams, and they have blanked Cal 34-0. That's very impressive to me. They did lose to Washington State 13-36. That one kind of surprised me a little bit, but the team totals for the other teams. So last week, they shut out Fresno. They give up 10 to Nevada, only 24 to CSU. They give up 3 to Northern Illinois, blank Cal, blank Stony Brook, and then the 36 points to Wazoo. This defense is solid. It's as solid as Wyoming is going to see this year, I got to believe.
Yeah, totally agree. This might be like a first to 17 wins kind of thing, if it even gets to that. I just don't see another traditional play other than the under. 42.5, favorable number.
how do you say that in a college game?
I know.
Under 42.5, and it's the right play.
Yeah, I think so. Both teams still pretty inept on offense. I can't talk myself into any other traditional play than under 42 and a half. But we have one other special one that I actually really like here too in the plus money fashion. I think it's fantastic.
This one, when you're talking about a couple of offensives that don't light up the scoreboard and a couple of defenses that are really stingy, I like the first score of this game to be a field goal.
Yeah.
And I really like that at plus 195.
That's great juice there. For two teams that are going to struggle and two teams that defend in the way that they do in not giving explosive plays up, I think is phenomenal there. I completely think that the books whiffed on that one because that should be closer to probably the plus 120, 130 mark, not the 190, 200 mark.
Yeah, I really enjoy this play. It's one of my favorites. I just hope that Javon Bonight, the new play caller up there in Wyoming, doesn't pull out some gadget play or something. I going back to last week against CSU, I really appreciated what he did. The wildcat sort of looks that they put in, different packages, looked really impressive. But then the second half rolled around and they just didn't produce. So, to that end, I've got to believe that San Diego State defense is better than the CSU defense.
By a mile.
and CSU, or Wyoming rather, I have a hard time seeing them get to 21 points. I think this is going to be a kicking battle.
Yep, I 100% agree. You are right. That Wyoming first half was good on offense. So I think what they have is them getting a game script and being good at that and sticking to maybe, you know, whatever, 15, 20 plays or something and being comfortable in that zone. And then it just got a little – and it wasn't really even clunky. It was just inefficient. They were just kind of reverted back a little bit.
Right. And you can't tell me that they did not have their foot on the gas because they would have loved to have stuck 49 points on CSU.
Yeah, they could have put 100 on them. They would have put 100 on them.
Right.
So, it's a little bit of both worlds. Like, they definitely made a couple of steps forward, but we're talking a couple of steps forward of – going from 17 points a game to like 20 and a half points a game here. So I love both of these plays. The first score to be a field goal and under 42 and a half for the game here, I think are both fantastic plays.
Those are good ones for sure. I think it's time to head back east a little bit and check in on our boys from Nebraska. In fact, who's that guy that we listened to?
He's finally back home. I wonder if he found his way.
I don't know who told me this, but I heard one time to get real close to the corn. And this is a big cornfield.
I bet Lincoln Riley
like
probably knows
dreams.
This guy.
You can hear the corn
going to visit.
I bet Lincoln is the kind of guy that's been trying this.
Maybe just
it makes sense, don't you think? I mean, he's probably out in a cornfield right now just trying to figure out how he's going to stop Dylan Raiola. That would be my only concern if I am Lincoln Riley. You got USC 5-2. Was scoring about 112 points a game or something stupid like that. Coming into Lincoln, Nebraska. This is a 5:30 game, kind of a night game-ish there. And Nebraska's 6-2. A couple of pretty solid ball clubs here. I like both of them. USC, like I said, scores a ton of points, 42 points per game, giving up 23 points per game. Nebraska, not that far behind. 35 points per game, only giving up 20. What do you got for me here, Irby?
Yeah, I like shootout big time here. USC, I have is the number two ranked offense in all of the land. Very good at almost everything. They struggle a little bit on the ground, but we're talking they're 27th in the country there. Drive efficiency is their worst stat. 43rd in the country there. Defense quite a bit to be desired on their side of the things. They're okay. But they're about, you know, 50th or so in all my metrics. They give up a ton of explosive plays, for a big power team, which is, something traditionally you don't see. They're usually all in like the top 40 or 50. And USC ranks 76th in that. So
surprising.
Yeah, very surprising. Nebraska's been putting up points. They're still pretty good through the air. 30th in the country there. Dylan Raiola is still doing a good job. The Nebraska defense, what came into the year of everyone thought was going to be the main focus of this team has definitely shifted, because that defense isn't incredibly good. They are 100th right now against the rush.
Hard to believe they have not gotten better.
Yeah, wild.
Throughout the course of the season, that they haven't made some changes. This has been, we've talked about this basically from day one this year. The Nebraska rush defense is terrible, and that's how teams are going to exploit them. And I see it happening again. USC is going to come into town. They've got the number 23 rushing attack. I've got them down, putting over 200 yards per game, passing over 300 yards per game. Nebraska and the Blackshirts are just going to have their hands full. Jaden Maiava, I love this kid. He's thrown for almost 2,200 yards, 15 touchdowns, only four picks.
Yeah, the running, they do a little running back by committee too, and yeah. I can't remember the two names. You're going to have to fill me in or forgive me on that. But they're also very good, very athletic. So one is in space, one's a little bit more up the middle, just like the traditional things you see anymore. And I fully expect them to put up points kind of in a hurry. But I also think Nebraska puts up points for some of the reasons that we listed earlier, too. I really think all the other options are pretty appropriate. So we came up with one bet, over 59.5. Hope it's a track meet. We looked, as of right now, the weather's good in Cornland. And I feel like it should be a track meet, for two teams that are traditional. Well, USC is probably used to this, from their days. Nebraska is not, though. They usually rely on the games in the low 20s and that kind of thing. And I actually think they want this in a track meet. I think that's going to favor them. If they're going to win this game, I think it needs to be that way.
Well, they aren't going to keep USC off the scoreboard.
Right. Yeah,
their defense just is not built for that. So the way that their path to victory is to, you know, hang 45 on them and hope that their defense can contain. USC's got a couple of running backs. Wayman Jordan has been just super impressive.
There you go. He's the lead back, right?
Yeah, he is. And another aspect of this game that I like is the USC defense, particularly in the secondary. Dylan Raiola has been susceptible to a good secondary. He has coughed the ball up a little bit. And USC has something special in safety Bishop Fitzgerald. This kid has five interceptions, and he is, you know, he's one of the type of player that shuts down half of the field. And Dylan Raiola's made too many mistakes throwing across his body or trying to do the Patrick Mahomes, you know, flip it with your left hand or whatever. And I could see him turning the ball over once, and turnovers generally lead to points. So over this thing for me. But every other number on the board that I looked at seemed about right.
Yeah, we're going to make this one just plain and simple. The one play over 59.5, move on, hope it's a track meet, and go from there. One last game.
Hey, we get one more. Our guys are back.
Our friends.
These are my favorite guys. It makes me sad when they don't play.
Me too. And they're actually good this year.
This week, they are back. We've got Hawaii visiting San Jose State. Still 8:30 at night. San Jose is a 2.5-point favorite. And the total here is 58.5. We've got Timmy Chang leading his squad 6-2 against San Jose State team, who is 2-5. But holy cow, do they do some special things there.
Yeah, I this might be the one that I actually stay up all the way for here. There should be some fireworks here. And I like Hawaii a lot. I think they're finding their groove. I think everything is coming together. The defense is actually better than expected. They still have some holes and they still do some things poorly. I wouldn't be shocked if they ran the table, the rest of the way, would you?
Are you telling me that somewhere over the rainbow there is a pot of gold waiting for us at the back end of this game at 1 o'clock in the morning our time?
Man, let's see if he finds it.
Somewhere over the rainbow.
I got to get Micah to get me an extended version of that because I could have let that go for about five straight minutes there.
This one's fun. This one is going to be an absolute blast to watch. Hawaii's, you know, passing over 300 yards per game. And that sounds impressive until you see San Jose State that throws it for over 330 yards a game. Number one nationally is what I got them at.
Yep. Yeah, I have their effectiveness at 20th, which is for our region here, that is phenomenal. That is, that you might as well be in that top five category. So you have two very good offenses here.
Yeah. Other side of the ball, though, maybe a little different story.
Yeah.
Hawaii is in the, I got them in about the top third in passing defense. San Jose, bottom five.
Yep.
About 133rd. Next to, you know, very close to last. And then, they both play a pretty decent run defense here. This is all roads to the promised land here. I love this one, Irby.
We didn't look at this, but I just thought about this in my head. If there is a completion or attempts of passes thrown bet out there, this is going to get close to 100, I bet.
Easily. I mean, this is, you know, back in the Oklahoma State, Texas Tech sort of day.
Seriously.
Sort of style of football here. This one spells just a happy evening for me. I love this kid, Micah Alejado. I just wish he was 6'4" instead of 5'10" or whatever he is.
Yeah, no doubt.
You can see him progress and get better weekly. I like the Hawaii side here. Both teams are going to be coming in off the bye. I don't know exactly what that means, but Hawaii's scoring about 29 points a game. And San Jose is only scoring 24 points a game, which is kind of interesting because they throw it like no other. You've got Walter Egitt has thrown for about 2,200 yards, 15 touchdowns, only three picks. A couple of huge games of 473 yards at Stanford, 340 yards at Utah State. And he has probably the most dangerous guy in the nation, Danny Scudero. He is collected 870 yards so far this season. An unbelievable passing attack that they have.
Yeah, both of these teams are just going to try to light the scoreboard on fire. This is probably 1A, and then the Army Air Force game 1B as far as our featured games for my rankings. I honestly can't wait for this. We like a lot of the Hawaii side, which obviously that's going to be a shock to no one with as bad as San Jose State is on defense. I have them as 118th in the country against, in their pass effectiveness on defense, 116th in giving up explosive drives. They're 95th against play efficient teams. Want to know what Hawaii is? Play efficient.
Yep.
I am surprised that Hawaii is a little bit of a dog here, which is,
That shocked me.
A little bit of a, I don't know if that's a home field. I don't know what metrics the sports books obviously use to get this, but I feel like that's off.
Just looking at the records alone, 6-2 team goes on the road, plays 2-5 team.
Right.
How is Hawaii getting points? I don't get it.
Especially after a bye week. It's a little bit of a trappy thing, and we might fall right into it, but I'm going to go head first because that's what I'm going to do. We're going to be all in on Hawaii here. Hawaii money line, over 27.5 on their team total. I'd be shocked if we, you know, at worst case split those two. It's interesting to me. And then you found another fun one, too, to go along with this that I think is actually good value as well.
Yeah. Take any team to score 40-plus points. You could see San Jose doing it. If they find some weakness in the Hawaii secondary, they've got the talent, they've got the speed, they've got the horsepower to get it in the end zone a lot and to do that fast. On the other side of the coin, Hawaii is just going to march down there 8 yards at a pop from the run and shoot, and Timmy Chang and Alejado are going to pick you apart and stick points on the board nearly every possession. So one of these teams getting to 40, I like that. And I like the Hawaii side of it. These two teams actually have a couple of common opponents. They've both played Stanford. Hawaii wins first game of the year by three. San Jose played them really tough. They lost 29-30, and I'm guessing maybe that's where that line comes from.
Could be.
However, they both played Utah State, and more recently, Hawaii houses them 44-26, and Utah State handles San Jose 25-30. And that was their last loss. So it still doesn't quite add up to me, but this thing is, to me, it's a Hawaii showcase sort of game. If you want to give, you know, Pofelli Ashlock and Jackson Harris a little bit of room to shine, they're going to get it this Saturday.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this play. All of them. Like I said earlier, I'm actually very comfortable with every bet that we played, which is for the region we cover and a lot of the teams that you know, we're forced to play a little bit here. This might be the most comfortable week that we've had. We always struggle, obviously, with CSU games.
it's our Achilles heel, man.
We got annihilated by CU last week. We've had some ups and downs. But as far as like the overall process, we're still sticking to the same things. And this slate just kind of fits what we look at. I'm very intrigued by the plays that we have here. I think we're on the right side of them all.
When it always seems like, you know, historically for us, that when we get together and it takes us a long time to hash it out, those are typically our worst weeks because, you know, you're lost, I'm lost. It's hard to figure out what's going to be the best play on the board. But
yep.
When we sit down like this today and we both agree instantly, it seems like those are generally our better weeks. But hey, there are peaks and valleys, always peaks and valleys. And be responsible, do the right thing. And that's, yeah, that is not for this week. That's for every week.
Yeah.
But I never talk about a play that I don't like because I've liked them all.
You're right.
Out of the options available.
Yep.
But this week, I particularly like this board that we've got compared to some of the other boards that we've played.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm all on board this week. I'll probably play just a little bit heavier just because of that. Obviously not chasing anything, but and that's another good point to bring up too. You go at your comfort level. You know, if we're comfortable and then you know, you're listening on and you see all the plays and you're like, boy, I think those guys are off. Don't tail blindly. Have your own process. The things that you like to look at. It's okay to disagree. It's okay. Like if you want to hit us up on Twitter too at FRSpareChange.
Tell us how wrong we are with the CU game.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I'd ate every bit of it. I ate it to go Pokes, our Wyoming fan, a couple of weeks ago, and I said Air Force was going to throttle him. I didn't get there either. So, if you just want to know a process other than what we're giving out here too, we'd be happy to break it down on what we're seeing and what we're looking at too. So. But trust what you're going at. I trust ours for this week, and I'm very happy with the plays.
Irby, we say it every week, but let's make some money.
I mean, we have to have one sweep.
You would think so. I mean, we almost got swept last week. I don't know that you call that a sweep.
Wrong direction. I feel comfortable. I'm ready.
Yeah,
I think we're getting it.
I like this board better. The process remains the same, but I like this board better.